A look at the news near your neighborhood. The Fairfield University Graduate and Professional Studies around the region. Now on Melissa in the Morning, WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
This month, the FAA announced a new requirement for all U.S. airlines to certify that they are now using merit-based hiring for their pilots. The directive follows allegations of hiring based on race and sex, for example, according to the transportation secretary. However, pilot and airline associations say that all pilots meet the same standards, high standards, regardless of background. So I wanted to get perspective on this from retired commercial airline pilot from right here in Connecticut, Paul Zielinski, who joins us now. Hey, Paul, how are you?
Hey, good morning, Melissa. How are you?
I'm good. So remind people, Paul, how long had you been flying commercial airlines until you retired recently, actually?
A total of 32 years commercially.
Okay. So first of all, I guess, I don't know, first, your reaction, I guess, to this new directive?
Well, I'm not a fan of DEI, and I just want to get that out there in the beginning.
Yeah.
But my reaction to Sean Duffy's statements and the statements from the current administration is that there is a problem in the hiring in the airlines, and I had never seen it. And to say you want the most qualified and the best candidates is it makes for a good news bite, but I don't see any evidence. I've never saw any evidence in my 32 years of flying that the people who were in the cockpit were not qualified to be there. So I just don't understand why they think that DEI is an issue in the airline hiring process.
So I think that's a really interesting point, Paul, because I agree that I think I understand where we want to give equal opportunity to people. And I think that's a really great thing. But I think to do anything based not on your merit or what you can bring to the job, I think could be, you know, is irresponsible, quite frankly. But to your point, though, and the experience you saw over decades of flying, I think a couple of major commercial airlines in your time, you had never seen where DEI was sort of a goal over, hey, what are you bringing to the table? You never saw or heard of or witnessed, you know, that kind of practice being done.
No, not at all. And to be an airline pilot, and whether it's the smaller regional airlines or the bigger airlines like Delta or United, you have to meet certain minimum requirements, and that's driven by the government. You have to meet certain standards. You have to have certain qualifications before you can even get into the interview process. And that includes, private pilot, commercial pilot, five or six check rides along the way and enough flight time to qualify to be an airline transport pilot. That's a category of pilot, and you have to have at least 1,500 hours. So there's tons of gates along the way that everybody has to meet in order to even get considered. And then on top of that, the airlines have additional minimums. A lot of airlines have additional minimums that they will accept candidates for. And then there's even more minimums above that, desired minimums. And based on the number of candidates, they choose either the basic minimums if they need a lot of pilots or even higher than that. But everybody has to meet those minimums in order to even be considered for an airline job. So when they walk in the door for an interview, everybody is qualified.
So I'm curious because you were obviously working during his time in office. I felt like DEI really became center stage in America, I would say, when President Trump was leaving office and President Biden had entered office. And again, not to get political at all, but did you see where, I mean, obviously you were already a pilot at that time, but were there ever, you know, either were you seeing it or were you hearing about any of the, because as you mentioned, it kind of comes from federal. So all of these pilots are put through the same standard, the same qualifications, essentially. But it's driven by what federally is mandated, essentially, or that's the qualifications are kind of coming from the federal level. So did you see a shift or a change during President Biden's time in office? Or is this, to your point, is this kind of like a buzz headline to just get people all up in arms over something that's not real?
I think it's mostly the buzz headline and it's not real. I never saw any differences in the quality of pilots that I flew with. I've flown with women pilots. I've flown with minority pilots. everybody I've flown with has done a great job. They all meet the standards. When a pilot is brought in for an interview, they meet the minimum standards, and they can hire every one of those pilots that show up in the interview. And it's not like they're hiring for a one position, one job. When they start the hiring process, they're hiring for classes, hundreds and hundreds, even thousands of pilots are in this pipeline to become pilots at the major airline or whatever airline they're going to. So it's not like, you know, they hire one woman or one minority pilot and the rest of the people go home. I mean, we're hiring, if they can hire all 30 people they bring in for an interview process, that's great. That means they don't have to interview more people. So there's a vetting process during the interview, and they'd be happy to choose everybody. So it's not like anybody's being left on the street because of this.
And I was just reading in USA Today regarding this announcement from the Transportation Secretary. It says in December of 2021, the FAA under former President Joe Biden renamed messages, I guess these were safety messages to pilots, notices to air missions when it used to be notice to airmen, saying that it's now inclusive of all aviators and missions. But again, I think sometimes when you read things like that, I mean, we're seeing it even here in Connecticut. I learned that in this last election, to get, you know, very local, but also, you know, I promise there's a point. I had learned in Fairfield, for example, the town of Fairfield, in their charter that they just passed this last election, was to change the term first selectman to first select person, because the current first select person is a female, and not the last one, but the previous one was also a female. So they changed that. But to me, I don't know if you can then correlate that this is a DEI hire. That's not what, you know what I'm saying? I think sometimes we see these headlines and we start to say that it's the same thing when it's not. I think inclusivity is one thing. DEI hires, that's a totally different thing. I don't know if you agree.
Oh, I agree. And when they came out the notice to air missions, it's ridiculous. And every pilot doesn't refer to them like that. They refer to them the old way. We were
to notice to airmen.
Notice to airmen. We were instructed, and it was suggested that instead of calling the cockpit a cockpit, we were supposed to call it a flight deck. And the announcements that the flight attendants made to the passengers, you know, I would make an announcement to the passengers, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. The flight attendants couldn't say that. They had to say, good morning, everybody. They wanted to include everybody. I did it the way that I've always done it because I didn't want to change. I thought it was kind of ridiculous.
Well, yeah, you know, but that's what I mean. I'm with you, Paul. I feel like we overcorrect sometimes a lot, or we put an onus, like so many people are offended by things, and there might be one or two, but I think that we have created as a culture in America that we're not inclusive if we say, you know, good morning, boys and girls. It's the same thing in classrooms. You know, you can't say good morning, boys and girls. My kid's in second grade, and it's like, good morning, students. And it's like, who talks like that? I mean, but I hear you. But again, I do think, you know, that is separate than, you know, the fact that people are being hired based on their gender, their race, their, you know, I think DEI hires is a separate thing than I'm going to call them phrases that are more inclusive. You know, like, I don't want people to read that headline and say, oh, OK, so when, you know, Mr. Biden was in office, he's the one who called for DEI hires. Well, that's not what this is necessarily saying. He changed a term, basically, but that didn't mean that it changed the way that you hired pilots in America. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, not that I saw. A couple statistics. There's 500,000 licensed pilots in the United States, and 6.5% of them are women, which is not many, and less than 5% are minorities. So we're not talking about a huge group of people we're trying to include. Plus, like I said, when a pilot candidate shows up for the interview, they are technically qualified for the job. They could hire everybody that walks in for the interview. The interview process is a vetting process, and they want to make sure that your personality is going to mesh with other pilots who are flying with you in the cockpit, make sure that your personality matches the corporate culture. So that's what they're choosing when they hire people from their pool. Again, everybody is qualified when they walk in, and now you want to pick the best pilot who's going to do the best job as an airline. And there's more than the technical aspect of being a pilot. There's more than stick and rudder. You're dealing with the crew. You're dealing with maintenance. You're dealing with passengers and passengers' problems. And I'm not an HR person, so it's hard for me to understand exactly what they're looking for, what qualifies or quantifies a good airline pilot. But they have some things in mind, and they'll pick the candidates who best represent what they think a good pilot would be, a good captain. They're hiring captains. Mm-hmm. Even though you're not going to be a captain, they always say we hire captains because you're going to be a captain. So there's more to it than just raw numbers.
So we're talking to Paul Zielinski, who is a retired commercial airline pilot from right here in Connecticut. And anytime we have news that connects to the airline industry, I love to talk to Paul about it and get his perspective. He was in the industry for more than 30 years. And this month, the FAA announced the requirement for all U.S. airlines to certify that they are using merit-based hiring for pilots and not DEI requirements. And Paul, you know, again, sharing his perspective on this, never really saw that the hiring practices changed. And again, it is kind of based on federal regulations, but that never changed, even during the Biden administration, when you really saw attention to DEI. I wanted to bring up, Paul, that this is not just a pilot thing. That, you know, there's, and I can understand where you want more representation, but again, I don't think it means you bleed into DEI initiatives. In 2025, when Governor Lamont here in Connecticut did his State of the State address, he says, and I have the actual quote right here, I have his exact script. He says, here's a DEI initiative. This is for the state of Connecticut. And he said, we're doing outreach to get more men into teaching. Statistically, boys are more likely to be the disconnected youth. A few more male mentors in the classroom and coaching just might help. Now, I think we've seen, even with Connecticut State Police, there was also something that was said about we need more female officers. We need more minority officers, because, again, when there are arrests that happen or there are interactions with the public, it would be great to see representation of more people. I think that that is a good thing. I think that's great if there are more male teachers, if there are more, you know, officers who are women. But my point being, kind of going back to what we're discussing with pilots, and I want to reiterate for people, is while I think the goal is to kind of, again, have more representation, to do a DEI hire can be very dangerous. And I think you're addressing something far too late. So, you know, going back to, let's say, pilots, what was the statistic you gave, Paul? How many women pilots do we have in America?
6.5%
Of the 5,000.
500,000,
excuse me. I was going to say, yeah. 5,000 sounded very low. Okay. So yeah. My point of that huge rant is, to me, this is not something, like, if we're attacking hires of women by the time they're already, you know, getting into aviation, we're too late. To me, this is something we should be addressing more at the very lower level of education. Are we giving people the best quality education? Are we giving them the best exposure? Are we giving them the best tools? STEM has become such a big deal, you know, getting women into engineering or getting women into aviation. You know, something you and I talk about, the Tango flight program, and how many young girls here in Connecticut were trying to get into aviation and just to be exposed to it. That's where it needs to be addressed. That's where, to me, you wouldn't even have DEI hires if it was being addressed at the appropriate spot, which is when kids are first getting into school. How much exposure are they getting? How much access are they getting to these opportunities? How much education are they getting to then have the exact same, I think, quality as their counterparts? I don't know if you agree.
I do agree. You know, when people say DEI, everyone automatically assumes that we're going to lower the standards in order to attract the candidates that we want. Outreach programs, you know, extra help, scholarships, all that stuff, in order to get underrepresented people into the profession is all a good thing. But you can't relax the standards. And if you're going to give extra money, or you're going to put in scholarships, or you're going to go out and recruit people, like I said, that's great, but you just can't lower the standards. And the reason you alluded to a little bit, it's cultural and it's socioeconomic, and in the pilot industry especially. Cultural, not a lot of girls, at least when I was growing up, even thought they could be pilots. Mm. So that was never something that was even on the table. And so, and economically, it's very, very expensive to become a pilot. It's a lot of money out of your own pocket. I went into the Air Force, but there's a lot of money that comes
out of
your own
pocket. So that's how you got your way in, was you started
right,
with the Air Force. Yeah, so the military.
Right.
Yep.
So
it's a good point, though.
You know,
but again, I think that's a really good point, Paul. That's why I think, you know, the Tango flight program, for example, in Bridgeport and now in Stanford, I think that's such a great example of where you are exposing kids and for, you know, again, affordable, being able to expose them in their early education years to aviation. So first of all, they don't have that misconception of, oh, women aren't pilots or people of color aren't pilots. Like you're already, you know, breaking that stigma, which is not real. But also you're making it affordable and accessible to young people. It is exactly correct. Exactly correct.
Right. excuse me. Exactly. There are women in the Tango program now that want to be pilots, and they've gone on flights, and they're very excited about it. And their whole purpose in life and their whole focus in life has changed because of Tango. And I think that's great. And the more people that we can get, the different types of people, it brings different views and different world views into the profession, and that can be nothing but a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Paul Zielinski, I want to thank you, first of all, for all the work that you have done as a retired commercial airline pilot, also obviously for the Air Force. Thank you always for your service, and I always appreciate you giving us perspective here on WACC.